I enjoyed Sunday school this morning. I don't know if you guys are all able to make it or not, but Sunday school is still an important part of our worship day, right? And when we miss out on it, we're missing out on another part of that fellowship, another part of devoting our lives to the Lord, right? So I enjoy Sunday school still, even though some people say that it's outdated and all that stuff, but I think that any opportunity that we can get to come together is important. I believe that it's important. So I enjoyed it today. Pastor Raul talked about kind of a hard subject, but what it comes down to is our love for others, right? And which is really cool in the theme that I kept picking up from him kind of fits the theme that God gave me in the sermon as well. So that's good. It's not two contrasting things here. So we're on the same page. The Holy Spirit is speaking, I think. Goodness. All right. Let's pray, and then we'll read the scripture, and Mark will stop giving me looks. Father God, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you do in and among and through your people, Father. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would speak through me, Father. That I would step out of the way, Lord, and it would be your word and yours alone. Father, help me not to interfere with the grace and the love and the mercy that you want to give to your people. I thank you so much for what you're going to do. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture passage today is Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. So if you are willing and you are able, will you please rise for the reading of the word? All right. It reads, "Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For the judgment you give will be the judgment you get. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye but not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' while a log is still in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother, out of your neighbor's eye." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. All right, so we have been in a journey through the Sermon on the Mount for quite some time now. And if I had to ask you guys a question, what is the Sermon on the Mount about, and what's the theme of that? I'm sure that we'd probably have some different answers or some varying perspective. Let's say that. But for me, I would say that so far, the Sermon on the Mount is about relationship. It's about our relationship to God and our relationship to each other. All that Jesus is talking about leads us up to this. He continually gives us direction on how we can relate better to God and how we can relate better to others. And this passage is no different, right? Jesus continues to discuss what our relationships with each other should look like, or rather, in this passage, should not look like. So, verse 1. "Do not judge so that you may not be judged." Luke 6:37 says something very similar. It reads, "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven." This is a command against deliberately finding faults in others and ignoring our own. The unfortunate thing is that the church is full of people who make a habit of criticism and condemnation. When Jesus returns to complete the kingdom that he started, we will all face judgment. So, there's a couple things going on here, right? As Jesus is saying this, it's not that we are not to judge our others or it's in how we're doing it. It's how we're relating to others. It's this intentional finding faults in others that sometimes happens. And unfortunately, it happens right in, here in the church. Verse 2 reads, "For the judgment you give will be the judgment you get, and the measure you give will be the measure you get." So one interesting thing here is when Jesus is talking about measuring, the image of scales comes up, right? The balancing scales that they would use in the ancient market to purchase goods. And so what he says is, the measure you give will be the measure you get. And so the more that you put on others, the more that will be put on you in turn. And we have to remember that, this was an image that was used commonly elsewhere in Scripture to indicate the day of judgment or the day of divine retribution, right? So this idea of what you do or how you behave or how you interact with others, when you stand before God, he will also be that way with you. Let me see. This is not a command that the disciples of Jesus are not to judge others, but that there is work that must be done first. As followers of Christ, we must exercise critical judgment, but we are not to use hypercritical or condemning judgment. There is a big difference between discerning and being critical or hypercritical. I got this word underlined in my notes here, hypercritical. How far do we take it? How far are we picking at others, their faults and their failures, and how far are we taking it when we bring that to them? Are we just addressing something, or are we being hypercritical to a fault? And to me, that's one of those things that just kind of stuck out, is how we relate to others. Is it grace and mercy, or is it us? Is it me in my own shortcomings that I am looking at others through that lens and saying, oh, you can't be this way because this is how I am, or through the lens that I see things. The discerning spirit is constructive, and the hypercritical spirit is destructive. There's a big difference in there. When we are discerning towards others, we are building them up and not tearing them down. We're not constantly looking for negative behaviors to tell them how they're not supposed to live their lives. We are intentionally building others up. And when we are being hypercritical, what happens is we tear people down to where they feel unworthy, to where they feel less than, and it just shouldn't be that way. In the house of God, it should not be that way in the body of Christ, to where we are tearing people down, to when they walk away, they feel less than when they got there. If we're doing that, we're failing as followers of Christ, right? We are to build each other up. We are to start with the foundation of Christ, and we are to build on that and do it in love and understanding. Verse 3 and 4. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? So there's a few things going on in these two verses. One, a speck is a small piece of straw or dust or wood, right? That's a speck, tiny little piece. And when they say log here, some translations read plank. What they're actually talking about is a load-supporting beam or a rafter. So I don't know how many of you guys know what a load-supporting beam looks like, but if you look up, we have these big things going across the ceiling. Those are load-supporting beams. Those are rafters. So imagine you're walking around trying to get something out of somebody's eye while having this giant thing in your own eye. How well can you see to pull something out of somebody else's eye? You absolutely cannot. You are literally blind. So think about how sensitive the eye is. What happens when you touch your eye? Oh man, it all of a sudden this reaction goes on. You start blinking all crazy and eye starts watering and you go like this and like all this weird stuff goes on when you touch your eye. The eye is one of the most sensitive parts of the body, right? And so imagine trying to remove something from such a sensitive part of the body without being able to see. So you're approaching somebody else because they have a small thing in their eye and they're blinking all crazy and they're doing this thing and their eye's watering everywhere, but you literally can't see and you're like, oh, let me help you with that thing that's in your eye because of what you have in your own eye. This giant beam, this load supporting structure, this log, this plank. My first pastor, he used a great visual aid when the first time I saw him preach this passage. He had some sawdust, and then he brings out this 2x4. And he just holds it up. And he was like, let me try to help you with your thing, holding this 2x4. And it was the most ridiculous thing you would ever see, right? But that is the point that Jesus is trying to make. That many times we don't look at our own faults and our own failures and our own stuff, but we would rather look at somebody else's and try to help them with it when we are missing this big thing that's right in our face. The other thing that is in these two verses is that word neighbor. The Greek word here is adelphos, which means brother, right? Some translations actually have it written out as brother. But this can mean a physical brother or a spiritual brother. So what Jesus is saying is when you are dealing with your own faults and failures and shortcomings and you haven't worked through that yet, don't go to your brothers, your church body, and try to help them with theirs yet because you're not ready. You cannot see clearly enough yet to address these things. So what he's saying here is that there must be work in our own lives before we can begin to help others in theirs. Verse 5 says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. I guess I should have just read that. Only when we first look at ourselves will we be able to see clearly enough to help others. We all struggle with something at some time or another. We all came to Jesus not as perfect people. And there are things that some of us will continue to work through for the remainder of our time here on earth. And there are other things that we are able to work through with the grace of God that we can actually help others with. But that discerning spirit is what tells us the difference. That discerning spirit, not the critical spirit, the hypercritical spirit, the condemning spirit, but this, the Holy Spirit that guides us and leads us in that. And a lot of times what happens is we know our own shortcomings, we know our own failures, we know where we fall flat. And it is a place of contention for us in our own spirits. And so when we see it in somebody else, we want to go right after it. Oh, you got to get that out. Oh, you got to work on that. You got to do this. You got to do that. And a lot of times it'll come through and it will be in a very aggressive manner because it is such a big deal in ourselves that it just comes out. That's why Jesus is talking about this. That's why he's speaking about how we interact with each other. Because what happens when we interact harshly with somebody? What happens when we have something completely in the way of our vision and we go up to somebody and we try to help them get this small thing, this small speck out of their eye? Well, first of all, our depth perception is completely off, so we'll poke them right in the eye. First, number one, right? And then we're just going to kind of fumble around with it until we can finally help them remove this thing. And by the time we're done, we've done a lot of damage. We've caused them a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort. And we ourselves are still in the same place we were when we started. So I really love this. I know that you're not supposed to do hermeneutical studies in the message, right? And so I didn't do that. But I did look at this passage in the message, and I love how it reads. Mark, can you bring that up, please? It reads, "Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of a boomerang. It is easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, 'Let me wash your face for you,' when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe that ugly sneer off of your own faces, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor or your brother." You know, sometimes the message, it just kind of brings it a little bit into modern language. And it is that don't pick on people or jump on their faults. And I see myself in this. I see this, oh, I see what you're doing or I hear what you're saying. And I just want to tell you how to fix that. That you can't be doing this or you can't be doing that. And like the whole conversation this morning, right? Pastor Raul didn't come out and say, "You can't be doing this because it's wrong." He said, "This is why I don't do this," right? We are standing with people in solidarity because we want to love them to Christ, not to burden them away from the church. Don't jump on others finding their faults. Man, how that just, I did all this study, reading all, you know, Greek translations, like literal word studies and all that good stuff. And then last night, it was probably 8 o'clock last night, I was like, "Hey, I want to see what the message says." And I just opened it up. I was like, "Ooh, yeah, I should probably share that too." And there's sometimes that wording just really hits home. And for me, it really was. Do not pick on people. Jump on their faults and their failures. Criticize them. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Guarantee you, each one of you can find a fault in me. Guaranteed. So when I come at you and I'm jumping on your faults and I'm looking for your failures and I'm attempting to criticize you and be hypercritical, that same treatment can come back on me. We all have our shortcomings. We all fail at times. We are not perfect people. We are being made perfect through the love and grace and mercy of Christ. But we're not there yet. So what do we need to know? Humility and authenticity must characterize the community of Christ. Let me say that again, just in case you guys didn't hear that. Humility and authenticity must characterize the community of Christ. And just in case we didn't know, this is the community of Christ. We must be humble in our behavior. We must be caring towards others. And that should be what we're known by, right? Jesus says they will know you by your love. He doesn't say they will know you by your hypercritical behavior and how you tell people to do stuff. That is not what he says. He says they will know you by your love. They will know you by your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness, by how you build others up, not by how you tear them down. Amen. That is what he says. And as we read this wonderful passage in 1 Corinthians, it reads, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love is patient. Love is kind. Right? When we think about how we interact and how we relate to others, are we interacting? Are we in the manner that Christ would have us do it? Are we being boastful? Are we being impatient? Oh man, guilty of that one. How often do I get impatient because I want things done now and I want them done the right way? Are we being kind? Are we being considerate? Are we being forgiving? Right? How does Christ relate to people? And then in turn, how should we relate to people? Christ welcomes the sinner and the outcast and the least and the last and the left out and those that have been messing up their entire lives, and he welcomes them back into the community and he gives them a place among God's people. Is that how we're interacting with others? Are we welcoming people back into the community? Are we intentionally going out of our way to look past our own faults and our own failures, to work through our own mess, to remove the log from our own eyes before we'll help others with the speck that is in theirs? Why do we need to know this thing? Why do we need to know that humility and authenticity must characterize the community of Christ? Why do we need to know that? What's the whole point of it? Well, the point is this. Critical spirits are all around us, but they should not be a part of the church. They should not be a part of the body of Christ. All you have to do is go outside, and people will tell you exactly what you're doing wrong. You post anything or anything at all on any sort of social media platform, and people will tell you what you're doing wrong and how your opinion is wrong and how you live is wrong and what you're doing is wrong and how what they do is better. During COVID, it didn't matter what the pastor and the church did. Whatever you did was the wrong thing. It didn't matter if you continued to hold services just as you normally would, or you completely shut down and stopped having live services. It didn't matter, because the people would tell the pastor how they were wrong. It doesn't take anything for you to hear how what you're doing is the wrong thing. But it should not be so in the body of Christ. That is what Christ is trying to communicate here. Well, he didn't try to communicate. He did communicate that. We have a problem receiving it. Our critical attitudes, our condemning of others, should not be so within the body of Christ. I want you to get this clear. We are a community of followers of Jesus, and he calls us the body of Christ. We are one together. And I don't know about you, but my appendages don't often talk to each other in the way that I would think, where they're telling, hey, my thumb is telling my eye that it's looking the wrong way, because that would be awful weird, right? But we work together to bring others to the kingdom of God. So what do we need to do? We must first carefully evaluate our own lives, sinfulness, and shortcomings before judging the lives, sinfulness, and shortcomings of others. We must carefully evaluate our own lives. Not just go and go, oh, I'm good, yeah, I did. I went to church, I went to Bible study in Sunday school, I sang some songs, I even clapped, and it was great. But actually carefully evaluate our own lives before we begin to look at others. How is our relationship with God? Is it a relationship, or are we just kind of hanging out? How is our relationship with others? Are we being gracious? Are we sharing grace and mercy? Are we sharing the love of Christ? Or are we being criticizing and condemning for our own ends? The spirit is even more sensitive than the eye. It is the most sensitive part of the human being and can be easily damaged. If we damage the spirit of someone by being overly critical, we can push them away from Jesus and the community of Christ. I don't know how many people that you talk to that go, oh, I don't go to church. I believe in Jesus, but I don't go to church because, you know, I just don't believe you should have to. And the unfortunate thing is that most of the people that are saying that, it's because they've been hurt in the church. They no longer want to be a part of the body of Christ because they've been hurt by the body of Christ. And that is the saddest thing that we could ever do as the people of God, would be to push others away from God and away from the fellowship and the community that we get to enjoy as Christians. As the worship team comes up, I don't ever tell them when they're going to come up. I just kind of tell them at the time. Rel gives them little cues. Yeah, when I say this thing, I'm like, yeah. He's like, do you have any extra instructions? No, I don't, but we'll figure it out later. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about how you interact with others. I want you to think about, are we welcoming others to the table? Are we hungering and thirsting for God? Are we being critical and condemning with our words and actions? Or are we loving others through the mess that we are and the mess that they are? Because I'll tell you what, there are times that I'm an absolute mess. And it's okay. Because there are other times that I know I'm so closely connected to Jesus, I'm doing the right thing. We all have moments. But how do we love each other in our off moments? We sang a song earlier, Come to the Table. And it speaks about all those outcasts. About all everybody that was outcast and that are now welcome to the table. Guess what? Even though we have our faults and failures, we are still welcome at the table with Christ. So as they sing this song, I really want you to listen to the words of it. And I want you to evaluate where you are in your relationship with Christ and your relationship with others. And if you've been hypercritical or condemning, There's some work that needs to be done, right? If the love that you portray is not forgiving, there's some work that needs to be done. These are statements that the scripture makes that we can't ignore. If we are to be followers of Christ, we have to follow him wholeheartedly. And we can't pick and choose the passages that we want to follow and the ones that we do not. So I would ask you, during this song, that you would begin to pray. And you would begin to ask God to reveal those things in you. And that you would lay them down before him. You can do that from your seats. You can do it from the altars. Whatever you feel most comfortable. But begin to do the work. And allow the grace and mercy and love of Christ to indwell you and to fill you and to lead you. Let's pray. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you that you give us grace and mercy every day. And I pray right now that I would be a person of grace and mercy and love. Help me in my struggles, Father. Help me in the way that I interact with others. Help us all in the way that we interact with others. Help us to build others up. Help us to love one another. You are glorious and you are mighty and you are wonderful. Lead us in the way that we should go. In Jesus' name, amen.